The enchanting world of Hinge and Bracket.
Rehearsal over, dear. We can go out now for the day with a clear conscience.
Yes, dear. I have packed the picnic hamper.
Yes, I noticed. So I've repacked it.
Why, dear?
Well, if Adney, you'd put all the squashable items on top.
But of course, you don't put tomato sandwiches and cream cakes underneath heavy plates and thermos flasks.
I do, dear.
But they'll get crushed.
That's just where you're wrong, dear, because I always put the hamper in the car upside down.
Why?
Because if you didn't, the food would get crushed.
Oh.
System and method, you see, combined, of course, with logical thinking.
Yes. Well, in that case, I expect you'll be wearing your shoes on your head.
Now, if you're going to be silly, I'd rather drop the subject.
I thought you would, Hilda.
But if I may mention it, dear, you do seem to have cut far too many sandwiches.
Well, I told Miss Primley I would provide enough for the three of us.
Yes, a wise move, dear. I remember the last time she provided the refreshments. Mm,
and we had dock leaf sandwiches and nettle salad. Well, at least that's what it tasted like.
Yes, I just ate the bread and threw the contents behind a stone. I remember the ants threw it back. The contents, not the stone.
Incidentally, Hilda, I've made two flasks of tea, one without milk and one without sugar. I couldn't remember what Miss Primley liked her tea without.
I think she likes her tea without tea, dear.
The trouble is, dear, you see, I put sugar in the one without milk and the milk in the one without sugar. So if Miss Primley wants it without sugar and milk, we've got a problem.
Wouldn't it have been easier to bring two flasks of unadulterated tea, a bag of sugar and a bottle of milk?
It would have been far easier, Hilda, if you'd got up early and done the lot yourself.
Well, I did offer, dear.
Yes, after I'd done it all.
Well, then you've just remembered there's something I haven't done.
Something else?
I haven't phoned the vicar to ask can we borrow his binoculars.
Oh, Hilda, we must have a pair of binoculars.
Don't worry, dear. I'll give him a ring now. And we can pick them up on our way. Oh, hello. Hello, Donald. It's me, dear. Dame Hilda. Oh, yes. Yes, I'm fine, thanks. And how's Cressida? Oh, dear, I am sorry. Well, I did say at the time it wasn't a good idea to keep bees. Didn't she wear one of those hats with a net round her face? Oh, it didn't sting her there. I see. Well, you can never tell with bees. Anyway, Donald, I'm ringing really to ask you, can we borrow your binoculars? We're going bird watching, you see. What are you using them for? Oh, I see. Well, yes. Well, that's what turns you on, dear. Yes, yes. Well, anyway, that's very kind of you. Yes. And we'll call for them. Yes. Yeah. Donald. We'll give our love to Cressida. Tell her to keep walking about. Bye-bye, dear.
Whatever was that all about?
Well, apparently he was going to do a spot of bird watching himself, in a manner of speaking. He wanted to inspect the church weathercock.
Of course. He told me it had been facing south for the past week.
Perhaps it wants to fly there for the winter.
Well, Hilda, it's time for us to fly. Don't forget we have to pick up Miss Primley.
Yes, yes, dear. Oh, I'll just say goodbye to Milton. There. There then, Milton, who's a pretty boy. Yes, I know he is. Oh, look at him, he's admiring himself in his mirror.
Stupid bird.
Milton, dear, don't, no, no, Milton, darling, don't bang your mirror like that. If it breaks, you'll have 7 years bad luck.
He's been 7 years bad luck.
Ignore her, Milton, she's being naughty. We're going to see some of your country cousins today. Yes. Would you like me to take a message? We could strap it to your Auntie Evadna's leg.
Well, I'll get the car car out, Hilda, and put the hamper on the back seat.
Upside down, don't forget. On the other hand, of course, you could put it in the right way up and you could sit upside down. Are you quite comfortable on the back seat, Miss Pemley?
Oh, yes, Hilda, it's very spacious. I'm stretching my legs.
Well, don't stretch one longer than the other, dear. You might get lopsided.
The countryside is beautiful at this time of the year, isn't it, Hilda?
You shouldn't be looking, dear. Keep your eyes on the road. Oh, look at that, that magnificent oak tree.
Oh, mighty oak. Of wooden timber, acorn, worm, and maggot. As in the breeze, its topmost branches dance a carefree dance.
It's not doing the okie cokey, is it? Now, keep your eyes on the road, Evadne. Oh, look at that thatched cottage.
How can I possibly keep my eyes on the road and look at oak trees and thatched cottages?
Oh, thatched cottage. Sing to me of parsley sauce, elderberry, and thick knit sweaters.
It's a different language.
But I know exactly what she feels, dear. And I think it's cramp in her left leg. It's all that stretching, you see.
Evadne?
Yes, Miss Pimlet?
Please, don't think I'm criticising your driving, but don't you think you're going too fast?
Don't worry, Miss Primley. Evadne is a very competent driver, and she doesn't take any risks.
And you are going too fast, Evadne. Nonsense. I do not consider 22 miles an hour fast.
Evadne, I distinctly saw the needle on 60.
That's the oil pressure, Hilda.
Well, if the oil's going at 60 miles an hour, the car's going to
Would you prefer to take the wheel, Hilda Brackett?
I don't mind, dear. Pass it over.
Hilda?
Yes, Miss Pimley?
There's a strange noise in the back.
You can say that again.
What is it, Miss Pimley?
Listen, can't you hear it?
No, I'm afraid I can't.
Can you hear it, Hilda?
No.
Listen.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, listen.
No, I'm sorry, I can't.
Hilda, you're not listening.
But I am. I'm listening as hard as I can. I can hear myself listening.
There. Did you hear it then?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you must have done. It's like a crick, crick, tutty, tutty, tutty.
Yes, well, that certainly narrows it down.
There it goes again. Oh, Hilda, I'm frightened.
It isn't anything you're wearing, is it, dear?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Well, Maud once had a pair of squeaky corsets.
Do you remember it, Anthony?
Yes, but I don't think it was creak, creak, tutty, tutty, tutty. Oh, no, it was more of a twang, twang, brr. Mind you, we soon cured it. We gave it a quick rub down with an oily rag.
It's still there, Hilda.
I think I'd better stop.
I do think you should look under the car, Hilda, and check if you can see the noise.
It's rather like asking someone to listen to a photograph.
I'll have a look.
I do hope it isn't serious. Isn't a carburetor under there?
I think the doctor keeps ours in the glove compartment.
It's bad news, Hilda. The exhaust pipe is waggling about. It looks as if it might drop off.
Chewing gum.
Pardon me?
We could stick it on with chewing gum, if we had any chewing gum. Miss Pimley, do you happen to have any chewing gum on you, dear?
No, Hilda. But I've got some licorice all sorts.
Isn't it pathetic?
May I make another suggestion?
If it's as fatuous as the last one, no.
I suggest we call at that farm across the fields. They may be able to help.
Exactly what I had in mind.
Yes, I'm sure you did.
Oh, sturdy farmhouse, guardian of isolation, there comes a cry of cock-a-doodle-doo from a bewildered horse.
Yes, and it's not the only one.
There doesn't seem to be anyone in, Hilda.
Well, should I peep through the letterbox?
Isn't that invasion of privacy, Hilda?
No, curiosity. Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo, I say, yoo-hoo! Is anybody there?
No. I'm here, right behind you.
Oh, my word. Oh, you did startle me, Mr. Farmer.
Farrington. Fred Farrington. I was over in the barn, heard you knocking.
Oh, yeoman stock who toil in soil with leather gaiters reflecting rich passive illusions.
Yes. May we introduce ourselves, Mr. Farrington? I'm Dame Hilda Brackett.
Dr. Yvette Nehem.
Miss Primley.
Who is rather poetically minded.
I gathered that. Interesting, because I do a bit of scribbling myself.
Oh, dear.
The thing is, you see, our car has broken down.
Oh, well, you better come in. Door ain't locked.
Well, isn't this, quaint?
Yes, indeed. Quaint is the word, dear.
Set yourselves down, ladies. Just move her, firewood off of the settee.
Thank you.
And try not to disturb Clara in the armchair. She's hatching some eggs.
I'm sure she'll make a wonderful mother.
What a wonderful atmosphere exists in this farmstead, Mr. Farrington. Bumblebees and tins of fruit agog in wild profusion.
Oh, very deep that, Miss Primley, very deep.
She always is.
Uncut bread and fleecy sheep. The oil lamp ticks the seconds away.
Oh, enthralling. You've captured the mysticism of the soul of probability.
I wonder if he's any good with the exhaust pipe.
I write my best poetry in the dark.
Yes, that's understandable.
You see, I sits in the ingle nook and contemplates the dying embers, and I feel it all around me.
Probably you need your chimney sweeping.
Fire, bricks, and rusty bagpipes, wafting on a lake of porridge.
Oh, yes, yes. Churning, swirling, pudding and pie, Mr. Grimshaw has got hiccups.
Guzzle, guzzle, twice and thrice. Crackle, snap, cries a creaking chair.
The vicar's here. Let's bake a cake.
It's at moments like this, Hilda, when I wish I'd persevered with the Open University.
I think you'd have been better taking woodwork. Now, Mr. Farrington, if you've finished with your intellectual rhetoric, we did intend to do some bird-watching, but our car is in need of attention.
Oh, yes, the exhaust pipe, you said.
Yes.
Well, now, look, you wander across Long Meadow, over the stile into Carpin's Wood. You'll see all the wildlife you want to, and leave the car to me, ladies.
That's very kind of you.
And if I can't fix it, I'll send for Rex.
My word, he must be a clever sheepdog.
It's me brother.
Careful with the picnic basket, Evadne. Make sure it's the wrong way up, dear. And can you give me a hand over this stile, dear? What? Thank you. Your turn now, Miss Primley.
Oh, dear. I don't think I can, Hilda. It's my skirt. It's too tight.
Well, pull it up, dear.
Hilda, I couldn't possibly do that.
Well, don't worry. We'll tell the birds not to look. Close your eyes, Dickie Bird.
Look, sit on top of the stile and sort of swivel your legs over.
Yes. Well, I'll try. Oh!
Oh, dear. Oh, I say, we should have brought her some sandpaper.
I think it's a splinter.
Oh, splinter, splinter. On the stile.
better. I've made it.
Well, let's head for that grassy bank over there.
What a lovely spot for a picnic, and an ideal place for bird watching. Oh, I say, oh, look at that, Nick. What do you think that one is?
Let me see.
Oh.
Ah. Well, it could be a woodpecker.
Do you really think so? Mm. Better keep your hat on, Miss Brimley. Just my fun, dear. What kind of woodpecker is that, Nick?
What kind do you want?
Oh, now, don't be exasperating, dear. According to my book, we can look for the green woodpecker, the great spotted woodpecker, or the lesser spotted woodpecker.
I don't think it's a green one.
Oh, you may be right. That one's black and white.
It must be one of the other two, then.
Well, I know that, Evadne, but which one? I mean, is it a great spotted woodpecker or a lesser spotted woodpecker? And do they call the lesser spotted woodpecker lesser because it's smaller than the great spotted woodpecker? Or do they call the lesser spotted woodpecker lesser because it has less spots than the greater spotted woodpecker?
Pass.
And I thought you'd have known that one, Evadne.
I'm a little confused.
Well, it seems a perfectly straightforward question to me.
Well, you answer it.
Oh, now, there's a pretty one. Oh, now, would that be a purple sandpaper?
Piper, Hilda.
Pardon me?
I said piper.
I thought so. Well, what about it?
You said sandpaper.
Did I? Well, if you're going to pick me up on everything, anyway, it's probably a misprint in this book.
Let me see.
It doesn't matter, dear, anyway. It's a very old book, and I've lost the page now.
Sandpiper of purple tinge, wouldst thou not speak to Dr. Hinge?
Yes, very good, Miss Brimley.
Oh, purple bird, oh, sweet nest builder, warble thy note to dear Dame Hilda.
I think she's away again, Evadne.
I've noticed her.
I think I'd like something to eat, Hilda.
She's back again.
I'm feeling rather peckish.
Well, you will be. It's all these birds, you know.
Well, all right then, Miss Brimley. Now, is it tea with milk and without sugar? Or is it tea with sugar and without milk? Or is it tea without milk and sugar? Or is it milk without sugar and tea? Or wouldn't you rather be a fish?
Coffee.
We've got tea without coffee.
No, Hilda. Just coffee on its own.
That's one combination you forgot about, Evadne. You slipped up there, dear.
Yes, and I slipped up when I agreed to make the food. Speaking of which, would either of you like a spoonful of tomato sandwich?
Oh, dear, say, what a state they're in. Never mind, I like them moist.
Moist? They're soaking wet.
And look at the cress. What a mess. Oh, I made a rhyme, Miss Brimley.
It's all your fault, Hilda Brackett. Repacking them the wrong way up and putting the basket in the cart upside down instead.
Yes, I noticed that. That's why I turned the hamper the other way.
Thank you, Miss Brimley. Well, who's for a salad cream cake?
Not for me, thank you.
Oh, come along there. Where's your adventurous spirit?
Crushed, like the food.
Well, Miss Brimley, would you like a drop of tea instead of coffee? I mean, if it's like the rest of the picnic, you won't tell the difference.
Hilda, could I have the binoculars?
Well, dear, I think you'll find them a bit tough on your teeth.
While you pour the tea, I wish to concentrate on my bird watching.
Certainly, dear.
You know, Hilda, I've always wanted to see and hear a bittern, but I've never been lucky enough.
Bittern? Bittern? That's a strange name for a bird.
It's a strange bird. It's described here in the book. When unaware of being seen, the bittern looks like a large domestic hen, hunched up with its long neck drawn in.
Sounds like Maud, dear.
It's not much of a singer, either. Listen to this. The call of the bittern resembles something between the lowing of a cow and a distant foghorn.
It is, Maud.
I have always wanted to see a black-tailed godwit.
Well, who hasn't there?
Oh, black-tailed godwit, where art thou now?
Why don't you go and look for one, dear? Never know your luck. In that name, what are you staring at?
Ants.
Where?
There, dear, marching across this hillock.
Oh, yes. They're so industrious, and aren't they marvellous little workers?
What's the matter, Hilda?
We're just admiring this army of ants. It starts right over there, and it comes right across here and goes right under you, Miss Brimley.
Oh!
Don't worry, Miss Brimley. They're probably after your licorice also.
Well, well, ladies, did you have a good picnic?
Well, I think the ants did.
And did you do any bird watching?
Actually, I think they were watching us most of the time.
Well, now I've mended your exhaust pipe, and I reckon it'll get you home.
I was hoping to go home in the car.
Oh, I like your sense of humour. Did you hear the one about the two rabbits?
We'd rather not, thank you. Anyway, I have heard it.
Well, now, Mr. Farrington, and how much do we owe you?
Oh, good heavens, it were only a five-minute job. Just had to put a clip on, no trouble at all. Let's say a fiver.
Oh, what?
Sense of humour. Nothing at all. No, really, it's my pleasure.
Well, you've been very helpful, Mr. Farrington. And I must say, I love this little front room.
Mm. And the piano in the corner. Is it in good condition?
Oh, it is that. I have it tuned every 6 months, in memory of my Daisy.
Oh, your late wife.
No, me prize cow. Used to love to stand outside the window and listen.
Well, shall we sing him a number of that as a sort of thank you?
Oh, you do a bit of singing, do you?
Just a little bit, you know.
Well, now I'd like that.
Splendid. I'll tell you what, Evadne, this would be a very good opportunity for me to go through my solo for Ruth in the Pirates of Penzance.
Excellent idea.
Shall we do that now? Oh, yes, cool. You sit down, let's sit down. All right, so you'll carry on then.
When Frederick was a little lad, he proved so brave and daring. His father thought he'd prentice him to some career seafaring. I was a lass his nursery maid, and so it fell to my lot to take and bind the promising boy apprentice to a pilot. A life not bad for a hardy lad, though surely not a high lot. Though I'm a nurse, you might do worse than make your boy a pilot. I was a stupid nursery maid, on breakers always steering, and I did not catch the words aright through being hard of hearing, mistaking my instructions, which within my brain did gyrate. I took and bound this promising boy apprentice to a pirate. A sad mistake it was to make and doom him to a vile lot. I bound him to a pirate, you, instead of to a pilot. I soon found out beyond all doubt the scope of this disaster, but I hadn't the face to return to my place and break it to my master. A nursery maid is not afraid of what you people call work, so I made up my mind to go with a kind of heretical maid of all work. And that is how you find me now, a member of your Shylock, which you wouldn't have found had he been bound apprentice to a pilot.
In their enchanting world, Hinge and Bracket were joined by rhythmical Rosalie Williams as Miss Primley and the personable Peter Wheeler as Mr. Farrington. The programme is written by that delightful trio, Mike Craig, Laurie Kinsley and Ron McDonald, and produced in fragrant Manchester by gentleman James Casey.